host, and a great day to you wherever and whenever you may be listening. My name is Jason Dias, broadcasting and podcasting live from the studio of eloquentonline.net in beautiful New Braunfels, Texas, Republic thereof, now more than ever. Well, wherever you live, living your healthiest and wellness, the best health and wellness life you can is important, regardless of who you are, regardless of who you vote for, regardless of where you live. COVID-19 was not a regional issue. It impacted the entire planet. And I've heard so many people talk about how the isolation and, you know, not being able to be as active as they once were, not being able to go to the gym. You've heard those stories from people. Other people found that working from home actually allowed them to spend more time focused on a diet that they control, three meals out of the day, you know, having exercise equipment there at the house. I have a treadmill in the garage, but I don't always use it. I have the freedom to work out every single day, but I don't always do it because I have the freedom to go down to the kitchen and find the cookies sitting on the counter. There's all kinds of opportunities to get healthier and temptations to do things that maybe aren't so healthy here at my home where I've worked for 20 years. And so I've been doing this show for over 11 years, and for the past 7 or 8 years, I've said, hey, we're going to do a show about health and wellness, and here we are, 11 years in, and it's the first time we're doing it. And it's a perfect parallel, a perfect metaphor. We all know we're supposed to live healthier. We try to live healthier. We all know that we can improve things in that regard. We all make those New Year's resolutions that we've broken by, you know, the 6th of January. But I think having a conversation about just being aware of it, whatever industry you're in, especially now that I think we're going to see sort of a hybrid model where sometimes you go to the office, sometimes you work from home, finding ways to work whether it's exercise or just a different diet or all the other things that you can do, you know, health and wellness and you know, having a healthy diet, that they don't always have to be mutually exclusive. That's all just part of the overall picture of health and wellness, and hopefully we'll get to talk to Carol about this more than just this one episode, because it is a process. Health and wellness is not one thing you do. It's not an inoculation. You get an inoculation, hey, you're healthy and you're well. No, it's something that we have to work on each and every day, myself included. And of course I know. I mean, I'm very lean. I always have been. My son is 20 years old, and it's like looking in a mirror, in a time machine. So I know some things are genetic. I know we all have great-grandparents that lived to be 100 years old and smoked 10 packs of cigarettes a day and punched down a fifth of whiskey every night. I mean, I know that. Some things there's just no explaining. For most people, though, small modifications to lifestyle and diet and the way we manage our time can have big improvements on the way we feel when we get up and go to work every day. And I think that our customers, our audiences, are going to get better service and intentionally engage when we feel better as banking professionals or whatever profession you may be in. And so I'm looking forward to going up to the great state of Pennsylvania to visit with our good friend Carol, and we're going to do it all right after this. It's conference quality information without the rubber chicken dinner, the hangover, and without the expense report. This is the Power of Performance Podcast. Stay with me, and you will see my... Ah, yes, Anita Baker from 1986. Whew, that's when I was at the peak of my health and wellness, courtesy of the United States Army and the Light Infantry Company located at Fort Ord, California. But we're going out to Pennsylvania. Hey, Carol, how are you?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. You heard me say it in the setup. We all talk about it. We all say we want to do a better job. And like I said, it's taken me 11 and a half years to do the health and wellness show. Why is it something that we all know is important to our well-being so hard for us to focus on and act on?
This is probably the most important question. If you go out to the internet, you can figure out and learn how to do just about anything, including being well. And taking that information and translating it into transformation is the thing that we struggle with probably the most. So I would say that at the center of wellness is really self-care and priorities. You know, we all say that we want to be healthy, but we really need to ask ourselves, what activities are we doing on a daily or weekly basis that support this priority? So we're pulled in so many directions, and we all have incredible demands on our time. But let's just say I set a priority that I'm going to lose 10 pounds. But during the week, I still stop at Starbucks every single morning, and I get my Frappuccino, and it's 300 calories and full of fat. Then I say, well, I'm not really losing weight. So this is where the priorities come in, because I think that people just are not honest with themselves when they say my priority is to lose weight, but they don't change their habits.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I think some of that is just honesty with themselves and setting true priorities that are real priorities, not necessarily something that they should say. So, you know, everybody says, oh, I could lose 10 pounds, but, you know, is it really a priority? And then I think the other thing is really self-care. I think, you know, we as a nation are on such high speed that we never slow down enough to give ourselves our own self-care. And that all, you know, filters into what it looks like to be healthy.
Let's talk about, you know, what it looks like to be healthy, because it's not just about your height to weight ratio, is it? Tell us about that.
Yeah, you're correct. Wellness is comprised of more than just diet and exercise, although it is a key component. Health and wellness also includes things like spirituality and relationships and your career. I use a tool called the Circle of Life, and it helps a person look at all aspects of wellness to see where they're having success and where they're not having success. And then we work together to kind of fix the imbalances so that we can create overall wellness. The other thing is that wellness is constantly changing, and so using a tool like this helps keep you focused on overall wellness as opposed to just a single aspect like diet or exercise.
And, of course, you can be in the best shape of your life, but if you're worried about paying your bills on time every month, that can also impact your health and wellness. Since it's a banking show, it's true to say that financial wellness and health and wellness go together, don't they?
Absolutely. One of the spokes on the wheel of life is actually finances. So when we talk about health, you know, health overall, finances plays a big part. So if I could just ask your listeners to just take a moment to think about how they currently feel about their finances. Perhaps they've lost a job during COVID or were furloughed for a time. Maybe their credit card spiked up over the last year, or maybe they're just really bogged down with student loan debt and their credit cards are maxed out. And as you're kind of sitting there thinking about all of that, think about the anxiety. Like I can feel the anxiety even rising up in me. And so as you experience all of these emotions, as humans, we respond. And the response, if your situation is not good, is stress. And then we turn around as humans and react to that stress. And that leads to unhealthiness. Yeah, so it could be anxiety or your emotions or panic or fear or frustration. And then think about what you do when you're stressed. You you know, maybe chronically sick, or you eat emotionally. And so when you're looking at financial wellness, you have to sort of, you know, recognize that something's out of balance. And then just as if you would change something for your physical health, once you recognize it, then you have to take action for your financial health as well.
I think banking brands could really leverage that. Hey, we're not just here to help you, you know, pay your bills and transfer funds, but we want to help you become more financially well. Financial wellness is something that I think everybody aspires to, and it's one of those things that we come into and out of in our life. You know, I've said it many times on the show, when your company is called Eloquent Online, as my company is, a global pandemic is actually really good for business. So as we get back to the in-person events, you're having an all-employee training day, you want to bring out Carol to talk to your audience, I said to her, if you could do that, if you could get everyone in a big room, what is your number one health and wellness tip that you would share with your audience?
Yeah, so my number one tip is something so basic, I'm just going to like blow everybody's minds here. And it's actually just to do something. So, you know, and that sounds a little bit weird, but we know that we're, you know, say for example, you know, we want to, you know, lose 10 pounds, or we're supposed to, you know, we want to exercise more. What happens is that we get a vision in our mind. So let's just take the exercise for example. We say, okay, we need to exercise. And so the vision of what it looks like to exercise to you or to me or to somebody that's listening jumps into their mind. And maybe that means, okay, I need to go to the gym, and that's three times a week, and I need to run on the treadmill for 30 minutes and then lift weights. And so they get this vision of what it's supposed to be. And then what happens is they get overwhelmed. They get overwhelmed by a new pattern or a new routine or maybe the expenditure of a gym, or maybe they miss one time, and so then they're like, okay, I'm going to do it again. And so what I would tell everybody is just do something small. Exercise does not have to be the vision that pops up into your mind. I literally have a health coaching client that her exercise is to walk to the mailbox and back every single day and get the trash cans out to the mailbox or out to the curb and back.
Just living her life.
And exactly. And so we don't talk about necessarily exercise, but we talk about just moving your body. And so my advice is really to start small, forget about what you think you should be doing and what vision comes to your mind, and just do something small.
Well, if you want to find out more about Carol, if you're thinking about maybe offering this kind of service to your employees or even to your customers, I think it's a tremendous thing that any banking brand could combine the concept of health and wellness with financial wellness. Well, since we are celebrating the summer of music here on the Power Performance Podcast, I wanted to ask Carol one final question. That was, what was your first musical concert?
So my first concert that I ever went to was a Def Leppard concert on City Island in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Wow, that is a great first concert. Being a Generation Xer, I can tell you that back in the 1980s, Def Leppard was a stone-cold, international, top-selling, you know, global, sold-out, worldwide tour kind of band. And I've got a great story about Def Leppard coming up after the interview. But first, we wanted to thank Carol so much for joining us on the Power Performance Podcast.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I feel healthier and more well already. It's so relaxing. You didn't even need to break out the calming spa music. Hey, listen, folks, there's a reason I talk so much about, you know, it's a banking show, but it's the power of performance, because people don't forget great performances. You heard Carol talk about her first rock concert, Def Leppard. Off-air, we talked about some of the shows that she enjoyed on Netflix during the pandemic and shows that she watched over and over again. Leave your audience audience wanting more. Well, one of the reasons I use music in the discussion of banking is because nothing creates loyalty the way some of these classic rock bands did and do. And so if you'll permit me, I've actually practiced telling this story as quickly as possible because it pertains to Def Leppard and, of course, the theme of the show. You know, leave your audience wanting more. Develop loyal customers, clients, and members, not just satisfied. Satisfied customers go elsewhere. Dissatisfied customers tell everybody how bad you are. Loyal customers. They tolerate the occasional mistake. They tolerate when the website goes down or when the mobile app doesn't work in one nanosecond from when you put in your password or use your fingerprint or face ID. But musical bands create such loyalty. So I want to tell you this quick story about Def Leppard. This goes back to when I was in high school. Def Leppard was a stone cold top 10. Everybody knows them. I was never a big fan. I was a big fan of Rush in those days and U2 and things like that. I was never a big fan of Def Leppard, but I enjoyed the hit songs that they had at the time. You know, during the MTV and the AM/FM radio album rock days of the 1980s when all of this was going on. Well, we had a young lady that I'd known since elementary school. I'm just going to use her first name. Her name was Leah. We used to call girls like her a bit of a tomboy. You know, she wore jeans and she wore a Def Leppard concert shirt to high school every single day. Different one, not the same one, different one. She had bandanas around her neck that said Def Leppard. She had pins. Before social media, we had these little pins you would put on your members only jacket or whatever, all Def Leppard. And she had these bandanas that said Def Leppard on them that she tied around her ankles. I mean, she was Def Leppard all the time. Well, during my senior year in high school, the drummer for Def Leppard was involved in a terrible car accident and lost one of his arms. Yes, didn't lose the use of it, lost his arm. And so now the band has a one-armed drummer to deal with. Okay, it was big news. So when I walk into Judson High School the morning after the news breaks, of course I see Leah. She's over there with her friends and she's crying. She's sobbing. She just can't believe this has happened. And so I walk over like an idiot in an attempt to lighten the mood. I say to her, and remember, like I said, I've known Leah since we were little kids in elementary school. Now we're seniors in high school. I said, Leah, look at the bright side. He'll get half price on all of his drumsticks now. Well, that did not go over so well, all right? I'm trying to think of how to describe this. She didn't smack me. She didn't hit me. I called it, she kind of wildcatted me. She's like, oh, she's like a grab, kind of a grab, shake, hug, shake some sense into you, Jason. What is wrong with you? How could you say such a thing? Well, two things I remember about that incident. The first one was that I realized straight away, I'm in high school, I'm a young man, that Leah has an incredible figure under these baggy concert t-shirts. That was my first thought. Now, I've ruined any chance of dating her at this point. And the second thing was, it was just like, gosh, you don't know these people. I couldn't believe. And, of course, her friends are shaking their head, Jason, you just don't know this kind of thing. Well, fast forward about 20 years to the first iteration of Facebook when we had it on our computers, not on our phones. I had a little old compact Presario laptop that I used for that. I had another nicer laptop that I used for my work. I'm sitting there one day, ping, Facebook request. I look over, and it's Leah, her last name that I knew from high school, and her new last name. Apparently, she got married. I said, oh, friend request. I remember Leah, of course. Except, go back to working. I'll check in on her later. Ping, message. Look over. Read the message. And it says, bleep you, Jason. She uses a real word. I've never forgiven you for what you said about the Def Leppard drummer, whatever his name was. Beep, unfriended. Just like that. I mean, that is loyalty to a band, to hold that grudge for 20 years, to seek me out just to tell me that. Well, I used a little internet research of my own, found out where she was residing down in San Antonio, and I mailed her via UPS one single drumstick. Yes, I have some last word issues. Well, thank you so much for listening to the Power Performance Podcast, a show that asks the question, if your brand were a band like Def Leppard, one-handed drummer and all, would you leave your audience wanting more? Thank you, Carol Fastridge Aranos, for joining us on the program today. Until next week speak, my name is Jason Dyack, and we'll talk to you all next week. Take care. I see your face, let me step out of free.